Hello, Science with a Twist podcast listeners. This is Charlotte McCormick filling in for our usual host, Ron O'Brien, on this episode of Science with a Twist. From rare disease outbreaks to tackling climate change, the need for global science is paramount. Unfortunately, there are communities across the world that are lacking the tools and training they need to not only protect their own regions, but to protect a potential global crisis. In today's episode, we're going to hear from Seeding Labs, Melissa Wu and Leah Lindsay, and later Dr. Aina Adiogun, about how one nonprofit is leveling the playing field for scientists around the globe. Leah, Melissa, can you start by explaining to our listeners a little bit about Seeding Labs and what you do?
Sure. Seeding Labs is a small nonprofit with a big mission. Our mission is to empower every scientist to transform the world. And we think this is really important for a number of reasons. One, we believe that science is transformative. And I think you can look around you and see basically everything around you is created through science. And we think that for science to be powerful, you need to have a diversity of perspectives. You need to engage people with different experiences who see different aspects of the world, different aspects of the environment. And so when you can bring together people of different experiences, different perspectives, that makes science more powerful. And so what we do is we try and make sure that every community, every society can be improved through science and bring the international scientific community together so that we can have that power of basically, you know, a whole community, a whole population engaged.
Fantastic. And what exactly was the inspiration behind the establishment of this organization? How was it founded? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we were founded by scientists, which is, I think, you know, really brings that perspective of understanding, you know, at our hearts, really, that science is important and that togetherness in science is important. And it started as a student group at Harvard. There were a group of us, including our founder, Nina Dudnick, who had experiences as scientists all over the world, in Jordan, in Côte d'Ivoire, in the U.S. We saw that, you know, everywhere there are talented people who want to solve the problems that they see in the communities around them, but there was an inequality in resources. And when you have that inequality in resources, it's really difficult to move at the pace that you want to move. And so, you know, we came together, we were at Harvard, we saw that, you know, in the U.S., especially at Harvard, when you have the right resources in place, when you have a community of people around you, science goes really, really quickly and innovation is happening every day. And we wanted to see, like, what can we do as fellow scientists to support people who are in under-resourced locations, places where they're trying to use science but just don't have the resources to make it go as fast as they want it to.
Got it. And so when you say inequality in resources, you're talking about instruments, lab equipment?
So I think it's a whole thing. You know, for science to be successful, you need instruments. You need some things as basic as gloves, tubes. You also need really advanced analytical tools. But beyond that, you need to be able to connect with, you know, like minds. And so it's both of these things together that we saw our fellow scientists didn't have as much of those resources as we had here.
We've heard scientists in resource-limited settings having to wash and reuse consumables that would be something that would never happen in a lab here in the U.S., and the resources become really precious. So oftentimes, scientists aren't given a startup grant when they start a new lab. They have trained in some of the most respected scientific institutions around the world, and they are driven to go back to their home institutions to continue doing important science, to train the next generation, to solve the problems that are in the community around them. But they don't have the same access to the tools that you would see in a well-resourced lab in Europe or in the U.S. And so the flagship program, Instrumental Access, is working to address that lack of equipment. Since its start, Seeding Labs has provided more than $35 million worth of donated lab equipment.
to scientists and universities at institutions globally. That's a heck of a number. What are some of the success stories that have come from those donations?
I love talking about the success stories because this is where, you know, where you can really see that our programs make a difference and that science makes a difference in people's lives. So one of the success stories I want to tell you about is a shipment of equipment that we sent to a lab in Tanzania. And some of the instruments actually helped them to increase their processing power of typing patient kidneys. And this was really important because it allowed them to increase the number of transplants that they did by 4 times in a month. And so it really increased the number of patients they could treat with kidney transplants, you know, helped them to increase the number of people that could find for matches. So that was, you know, a small shipment of equipment that impacted a huge population right away.
Another success story that really illustrates the power of equipment is from the Dominican Republic, where scientist Dr. Robert Paulino Ramirez had a dream of opening the country's first Institute for Tropical Medicine and Global Health. And his university was very supportive, and they gave him the space, but he didn't have the resources to equip that space. And so instrumental access was perfectly timed for him to build out the infrastructure that he needed in his lab. And once that was in place, he was able to open it, and the Minister of Health and of Education in the Dominican Republic attended the opening, and it was a huge event. It was an amazing leap forward for scientific research in the Dominican Republic, where there are challenges with infectious disease, mosquito-borne illnesses, HIV. Dr. Paulino was able to launch the first clinical trial in the Caribbean of the HIV preventative PrEP. And that's extremely effective, about 99% effective at decreasing the transmission of HIV in at-risk populations. He was able to take that data and rewrite the guidelines in the Ministry of Health for using this important preventative treatment to stop the spread of infectious disease in the Dominican Republic. So it's made a huge benefit in people who are at risk of HIV in decreasing the transmission rates and keeping more people healthy.
So Leah, you mentioned instrumental access. How does that process tie into the work that Seeding Labs does?
Instrumental Access is our flagship program, and we're really proud of the impact it's had over the past 12 years. It starts with a global talent search, and we really are out there trying to find the most talented scientists around the world in developing countries where scientific infrastructure still needs a big investment, almost like an angel investor. We need to share the resources that we know are out there so that the scientists in resource-limited settings can equip their labs, train their students, push their research forward, publish their work, connect with colleagues, and win that funding that's going to keep the cycle going on and on. We work with about 170 different equipment donors in the United States, biotechnology companies, manufacturers, including Thermo Fisher Scientific, some hospitals, and surplus equipment that's no longer needed. It's either being upgraded, or it's been in storage, or it's overstock. Any of that equipment that's still serviceable and working, we know someone who can use it around the world. Almost anything in Thermo Fisher's entire catalog, we can find a home for it. One of the most amazing things that we've seen about instrumental access as Seeding Lab has grown and matured is that we're convening such a huge and dedicated community of people across the biotechnology and life sciences industry who all care about seeing global science thrive. And they realize that an investment and donations to Seeding Labs can have a global impact. Every year we select, through a competitive application process, some of the most talented researchers at universities in developing countries around the world. And as part of our instrumental access awardees, these scientists get to go shopping in our equipment inventory. Now, this inventory is always fluctuating and changing based on the donations that are incoming, and we're accepting donations year-round. We have shipments going out year-round. So you can imagine we've got inventory of so many different kinds of equipment that would be suitable in biology or chemistry labs. And these scientists are able to choose what's most needed for them. We work with people who have brand new universities where the teaching labs and outfitting the teaching labs are their priority so that all of their students can get hands-on education. We've heard stories about places where there were shortages of microscopes or lack of other equipment, and students have been forced to watch videos on YouTube or just see things in books. So the ability to have hands-on training makes such a difference for students who are going out into the workforce and going to be working at places in their home countries where they can use science to solve problems in health, energy, agriculture, the environment, policy.
What we want to do is really focus on connecting the global community in the future. And we're doing that through our Instrumental Access Program, which is growing. We started new programs. One, you can see on our website, it's called Telescience. It's a way for scientists everywhere around the world to share their tips, tricks, and hacks about how to be a successful scientist. You know, a lot of the training and knowledge sits in individuals of, you know, you have to go visit somebody and say, how exactly do you do this? What exactly is your thoughts on this? And doing it the traditional way of actually traveling to someone's lab to learn a technique is really time intensive, is really resource financially intensive. And what the Telescience platform does is it cuts some of those barriers so that people can freely share their knowledge and scientists can really make knowledge a free-flowing resource.
Now we'd like to bring in Aina Adeogun, professor at the University of Ibadan in Nigeria, who has seen firsthand the benefits that Seeding Labs is having in the international scientific community.
Hello, Professor Adeogun. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and some of the research that you're currently working on?
I'm a professor of aquatic toxicology in the Department of Zoology, University of Ibadan. My research is on how water pollution is affecting the fish and its implications on human health. My goal with my research is to make water and fish safe for the Nigerian population, especially women and children who are very vulnerable to the effect of pollutants in the environment, especially pregnant women and children. I have, through my research, been able to create interest in the young minds in Africa about the importance of science in the development of our nation and the fact that the global community needs information about Africa, because it's a one world, one planet thing now, and we all need to come together to provide information to solve national and global problems. So I'm very passionate about development of the African scientist so that we can also participate in solving the global problems when they arrive from a societal angle.
That's fantastic. And it's good to hear that you're trying to inspire younger minds around science, because that's something that we at Thermo Fisher believe strongly in, supporting younger minds as it relates to introduction to STEM curriculum in topics like that. So going back just to touch on the water and trying to make sure that it's safe for people to consume, what kind of harmful pollutants are you currently seeing in the water?
A lot of chemicals that are used in production of what we use every day, like plastics. We know that we are in the age of plastics, where we use plastics and PVCs and all that for so many things we do. A lot of chemicals that are used in making these plastics strong enough for us to use and flexible. These chemicals are getting into water. And most of the water that we are looking at are the waters that are used in municipal provision, where they are treated, disinfected, and then we open our taps and drink them and use them for daily activity. Some of these compounds range from organochlorine pesticides used in agriculture, organochlorines, phenolic compounds, PCBs, PAHs, and phthalate esters. And these are chemicals causing a lot of harm to the human body by disrupting the endocrine system. It is particularly worrying that because these chemicals have been linked to the rise in incidence of cancers, reproductive birth defects, confused sex, and developmental issues, growth abnormalities. So that's our knowledge of how these computers get back, these chemicals get back to us in a cycle, has made us to come up with a slogan that what we are giving to the environment is giving back to us. And in a place like Africa, where we don't have strict regulations concerning disposal of waste, like plastics and other wastes that come from the home and industries, it is more worrying because there is no check and balance for how we use chemicals and how they are disposed in the environment. And that may explain the upsurge that we are having in the presentation of breast cancer, for example, in a place like Nigeria.
Can you tell us a little bit about what motivated you to apply to Seeding Labs' instrument access program?
Not being able to provide for research in the university by buying equipment, providing us with equipment for us to be able to work. This coupled with the lack of grants, the grants are dwindling, has made it impossible for us to train our young scientists, our students and the earlier career scientists in what can help to do good science and provide solutions. It's very difficult for a lot of people in Africa to apply for grants outside Africa and win those grants because we need equipment to be able to do the kind of research that can attract such grants. So getting to know about Seeding Labs at the Society of Toxicology Conference in Baltimore was a very good discovery for me because I was frustrated about the fact that the much I know, I could only impart on 1% of my graduate students that were able to find grants for to go to Norway to be able to do their work. And a lot of students here want to, they are very enthusiastic, they are eager. They read all the publications and journal articles as they come out, and they also want to do it. But we are hampered by the fact that we don't have equipment to carry this out. So the getting to know about Seeding Labs was a very, very good thing for us. It was very exciting. And since I got to know about Seeding Labs and became one of the instrumental access family, it has been a win-win situation.
And how did you hear about Seeding Labs?
I got to hear about Seeding Labs from a colleague in when I went for SOT conference in Baltimore in 2017. He came to my poster and noticed that the research we presented could only be carried out in Norway because we didn't have the equipment to carry this out in my university in Nigeria. And I explained to him the challenge of not being able to train as many of my students as possible because we could only find grants for about 1% of the graduate students I have, not to talk of hundreds of undergraduate students that are in my department that need to benefit from the use of equipment so that they can, because you know, when one is able to train a wider base, we are able to solve more problems. Because these students are very enthusiastic, they are intelligent, but without equipment to be able to practicalize our vision, it only remains a vision. So Patrick Allard was the one who introduced Seeding Labs to me, and I registered with their newsletter and applied. And I'm very, very glad. My students are too, that we were able to get win the Seeding Labs instrumental access thing as one of the awardees.
That's fantastic. And believe me when I say we're happy as well at Thermo Fisher Scientific. And I just want to touch on something. You mentioned grants and how difficult they are to get. Seems you recently actually won a grant to bring support to the Nigerian scientific community. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I recently won the tertiary fund education grant. The Nigerian government has been setting this up. It was contested by over 4,000 candidates throughout the country. And only 400 were able to get, which was less than 10% of the application. One thing that really helped with this award, which is about $100,000, was the fact that I mentioned the Seeding Labs Instrumental Access Award that I got on behalf of my department. At the interview, the panel were so excited that Seeding Labs was providing this for Africa. And this has made them to feel confident that whatever the output of the research is, it is going to be disseminated widely because we have the equipment to use to carry out the research. Because in most instances, you find that people get grants, they have to go out there to do the work. And when we get grants that you have to go out there to do the work, some problems arise which some countries would not allow us to bring in samples from Nigeria because of protection laws and all that. But if you can do it on Nigerian soil, it's easier to be able to teach more students and increase interest in science for them, because you'll be amazed at how excited our students have been since they've been seeing equipment that they only saw in textbooks. Now they are more confident that, yes, we can do it. So the grant was facilitated by the fact that I was able to mention that we just got equipment from Seeding Labs that's worth over $200,000.
That's really great. I'm happy for you. And to close things up a little bit, I'd just like to ask a final question about the future of your research and if you can tell us what that looks like.
It can only get better. And I'm going to mention something too. Since we got the benefit of how Seeding Labs equipment can impact on research for us, I have made it a point of duty to speak with state governments in Nigeria to be able to give support to their institutions so that they could also apply for the Seeding Labs instrumental access. And the Ondo State government, I'm going to use as a prototype here, have supported two of their universities. And these universities won the 2019 Seeding Labs instrumental access. This is something that I've taken as my passion because of the benefits that, the immense benefits that we will get from being able to equip Nigerian universities through the Seeding Labs instrumental access program.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Science with a Twist. And if you're interested in hearing more impactful stories like this one with Seeding Labs, subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss a beat. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Science with a Twist.